Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, imagine one day you wake up and you're sitting there in your cubicle, and the cubicle next to you has got an AI companion, a teammate. One of your team is now a computer or a robot. Look, it's happening all over the place. And how, if you're working in this world today and you're having to work within all of these tariff disputes and things like that, how are you dealing with it? Well, our guest right now, his name is Doris Guler. He is a CEO and co-founder of Intuition Robotics. They actually make a robot for a social robot for elders. Now, I'm going to let him explain this because it sounds all space age and scary to me. So welcome to the show, Dor. And we're going to have some fun with this because I think at the end of the day, the world is changing. And it is your job, since you're in that world, to help us, you know, newbies to this artificial intelligence and robotic world, to help us understand better that these things that seem to have their own cognitive intelligence and make decisions aren't going to, you know, aren't going to someday rise up. Because those are the movies. Those movies are what we've seen, and we're going to get taken over by the robots, is what they say, if you know what I mean. But welcome to the show, Dor.
Thanks, Alan. Pleasure to be on.
So, first of all, 2018, the Consumer Electronics Show, you won Best of Show for this. I don't know if I should call it a robot. You call it a social robot, and I don't know the difference. It's a social robot for elders, an elder companion. Now, my dad's 91 and my mom's 88, so I'm wondering, do I need one of these? So give us a little bit. What is a social robot?
So the product is called LEQ, and it's our first product. And really, its goal is to help older adults stay active and engaged so they don't fall into loneliness and isolation. And, you know, about 50% of older adults around us self-proclaim that they feel lonely and isolated, which is now proven to lead to degradation of health, to acceleration of dementia, depression, right, heart disease, and even earlier mortality.
Yeah.
You know, we live very busy lives. We live sometimes far away from our parents. And even if we don't, we can't be with them all the time. And we have our kids to take care of. And we have careers that we want to succeed in. And there's technology gaps that need to overcome in order to be kind of a functioning member of society today. And that's really the goal of LEQ, is an outcome-driven product. It's not a voice response system. It's, as you correctly said, it's a product that has cognitive ability. It's programmed to help the older adult achieve certain goals throughout the day. And it does it through multimodality and through character that it actually has.
Now, wait a minute. So is this thing walk? Yeah. Is it walking around the house, or is it a computer? Is it like a module sitting there that talks to them? I'm just curious because,
sure.
It scares me. I don't know what it's going to do to my parents. You know what I mean?
So if you go to LEQ.com, ELLIQ.com, you can see what it looks like. And we actually designed this product through joint work with over 120 older adults that helped us both understand the needs, but also help us fine-tune both the industrial design and the design of the persona itself. And the goal is basically to make it something that can blend into their lives and does not yell technology. If you look at it, it has a few components. It sits on a tray with wonderful Harman Kardon speakers for playing music at high quality. It has microphones. It has a tablet on the side of it that we provide, which is removable. And then it has something that... It's a new type of design, okay? So people give it different names. It kind of is like a lamp-shaped thing, somewhat maybe reminiscent of the Pixar iconic lamp.
Right.
Other people say it reminds them of Groot. I don't know. But what it really does is it has multiple degrees of freedom, and it has lights. So that when you walk into the room, LEQ will look at you and greet you. Or when there is a message from your grandchildren, she will be really, really excited and show that excitement. And as soon as she sees you, she'll tell you all about that.
All right, hold on.
Show you that
hold
picture on the screen.
I went on the website here, ELLIQ.com. I get it now. And I like to do this in real time because if I don't understand it, my audience isn't going to understand it. You're right. It kind of looks like a lamp, but then it's got like a tablet thing that has a couple of cameras on it that, you know, it can communicate. It can see you. It can talk to you and do things. This is actually quite brilliant. I have a 91-year-old dad and an 88-year-old mom. So to me, I'm looking at how can I help them to be more connected. This may be it for me. If you have elder parents, you know, us baby boomers, we have older parents that are going to live a long time. This may be the solution. ELLIQ.com. Check it out. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly, Entrepreneur Magazine on websites and newsstands everywhere because, yes, Entrepreneur Media. You know, if you want to get new information, kind of the newfangled way by watching videos and listening to radio, you can do that as well as reading articles or pick up the magazine itself, entrepreneur.com, or pick up the magazine on newsstands everywhere. Our guest right now is Dor Schooler. He is a CEO and co-founder of a company called Intuition Robotics. The product they make is LEQ, ELLIQ.com. It's a social robot. I guess if I could say it, it kind of looks a little bit like or reminds me of in some newfangled way, a Alexa with a tablet connected to it. And you know, it's funny. I send my dad pictures of my grandkids all the time. And he still is, he's pretty good on his iPhone at 91 years old. And, but I know the pictures are getting so small. And at 91, his eyesight's not that good. My mom, the same way, she's 88. But, Dor, let me ask you, what is the genesis of this? Do you have elder parents? Or were you thinking that way? Or you just thought, gosh, you know, the world needs some sort of a social robot to help these older folks not get so left behind?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I have parents, which I love dearly, and they're aging as well. But the genesis was more the latter part of your question. When my co-founders and I started the company, we really wanted to have high social impact. And the aging demographic of the world and leaving behind our elders and the growing digital divide to us seemed to be one of the largest problems. Not only do they have health implications, we also believe they have societal implications as well. And we felt if we can create technology that will help older adults be more engaged with the world, more connected to their families, and more independent and allow them to stay longer in their own homes, then it's a worthwhile effort. Mm.
LEQ also can make cognitive decisions. How so?
So you mentioned Alexa before. I think it's an important distinction that will lead me to your question. Alexa is, by the way, an amazing product. I think they changed the way we think of voice interface. But what it really does is kind of a voice portal, if you will, to 50,000 some apps where we give a command, and then through voice, it gives us access to those things. Oh. So we might say, Alexa, turn on the lights or something like that. However, it doesn't fundamentally change the way that we talk to machines or interact with machines. We give the command, the machine executes. The same as we used to type or swipe beforehand. With LEQ, it's the first type of product that we call a digital companion, whereby, of course, we can ask for something of the AI, but it might also wake up on its own, not because we programmed it to or told it to remind us to do something at 12:05 or what have you, but it will just decide on its own to wake up and suggest an activity for us or open in dialogue with us. And it will do so because it's trying to meet certain goals or get to certain outcomes. For example, to make sure we connect to our family, or to learn something new about the world, or to take our medication, or to stay hydrated, or to do some cognitive skills to stay sharp, or just to fill the house with music. Mm. And the cognitive ability, basically, is combining a few different things. On the one side, it has the goals, certain KPIs, if you will, or like quotas it's trying to achieve in each of those categories. And it knows if it achieved them or not so far today or this week. And then it looks at the situation in the who's at home right now? Do we have guests over? Is it raining outside? What time of day is it? What have we already done today?
Right.
Are you watching TV? Am I going to interrupt you? What have you? And it's also looking at everything we learned about the individual himself or herself that we work with. And then it will make a decision that maybe this is the right time to call your attention maybe by looking at you, maybe by lining up, maybe by calling your name, maybe a combination of those, and suggest a certain activity for you. And that is essentially what it's all about.
Well, the cognitive
ability is the ability to understand what's going on,
right,
make decisions, and then actuate them through multimodality, meaning the combination of not just voice, but also body language and images on the screen that feel kind of like the device is coming to life,
right,
in order to create a type of engagement and, dare I say, relationship that allows this to be effective.
Well, you know, my dad likes using Siri on his phone, and he's become very accustomed to talking to his phone and having it do things for him. So this seems like it might be the next step. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about how you are, of course, you're calling in right now from Israel, and the product you are getting made over evidently in China. So how are these tariff disputes affecting you guys? So this is an international call today, and we'll see how it's affecting our friend Dor Schuller, co-founder and CEO of Intuition Robotics. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I always look for things that can help me in my life, can help you in your life, and that can help your business, too, in some fashion. So that's what we're doing right now. We're going to talk about the business side of things. Before we do that, the product, once again, is LEQ, ELLIQ.com. And you can pre-order this. It's right around $1,500. There's a little fee, but you can check it all out at ELLIQ.com, intuitionrobotics.com also. Dor Schuller's joining us. He is calling in right now all the way from Israel, and thank you very much for calling in. I realize it's nighttime where you are. Let's talk about a little bit about these tariffs. Now, you're doing business internationally to here in the U.S., but you're also evidently, you know, some of this is made over in China. How, Dor, is this affecting you?
Yeah, so here's kind of the interesting thing about building a company these days, right? We're a three-year-old company based in Israel. We have teams, employees in San Francisco, in Athens, Greece, and in Israel. We designed a product in Israel and in San Francisco, and we manufacture in China. Right? We have investors from Japan.
Yeah.
We have investors from California, from Israel. And so it's really a multinational world. And you start hitting that even as a young company immediately. So, of course, when there are tariffs, these things affect us. Absolutely. We do our final assembly and just like many consumer electronic companies in China. And we have to be abreast of what that means and comply with all the regulations. And if there are tariffs, and in this case there are, we pay them.
Right. You know, on one hand, you're actually fortunate to not be to market with this yet, because you can do a price adjustment before you even hit market, where there's companies out there. A good example, the one I've been dealing with for years, is Craftsman Tools. They started making more and more Chinese, you know, power, I don't know, drills and whatever it might be. A lot of their hand tools are made in America, but the more that they started building things in China, and then they set their prices. And when you go to market, your price is set in stone, and you try and raise it. You know, look at Walmart. They had the thing, prices are falling. Well, prices are raising right now. So, I mean, this is, for you, timing-wise, probably a little bit of a blessing. I know you're not coming to market until fall with LEQ, but my goodness, there's got to be some puckering going on, like, oh my gosh. So I'm curious, what kind of advice do you have? What have you learned about this international business because of the tariffs? I mean, there's got to be some massive aha moment that you thought, you know, here I am, you know, I've got all this going on all over the world, and all of a sudden, some knucklehead, no matter who it is, pulls the lever and changes the rules, if you know what I'm saying. It's like, you know, you used to be playing ping pong, and all of a sudden they give you a bowling ball and say, whack that over the net. So that's what's happening in your world, right?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, it does mean that you do have the onus of needing to figure out things that you wouldn't think that a company our size needs to be thinking about or really worried about. I mean, yeah. Sometimes it kind of feels like a dinghy stuck in the middle of the ocean with lots of waves there, right? So I think that, you know, it does force us to work with consultants and to have lots of advice from import-export experts, and, you know, think about our supply chain and which components we buy where, and right. how do we do final assembly, and what does that mean as far as the percentage that's in China versus in Israel, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But, you know, okay, you know, so we do that too. That'd be the biggest problem in the business. At least there are written rules, as opposed to trying to create, you know, brand new products and create brand new categories. There's no playbook for that one.
Right.
Well, so
let me ask you, though.
Tariffs are easier.
Couldn't LEQ also work within the small business arena of healthcare and banking and hospitality? And, you know, it's kind of a smart home product. Couldn't you give it a twist and pivot and go, all right, you know, maybe we make another version of this to work so that, you know, and I walk into a restaurant and all of a sudden it lightens up and it says, welcome. How many in your party? You know, I mean, there's got to be other uses for this.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been, ever since we unveiled this product, we've been approached by many, many companies, most of them industry leaders in their domain, saying, can we also make our hardware become a digital companion, which is proactive and has a persona and character in it? And we're looking at a lot of those small businesses, hospitality, smart home, not for just older adults. And the first one we actually chose is to go into the automotive industry. And we're very fortunate that Toyota, through TRI, one of their companies, chose us to collaborate with them in creating, essentially turning the car itself into a mobility companion that can help people become safer drivers and understand all the new tech that's being pushed in their car, and also to create delightful experiences for the passengers, for the kids, for the driver, et cetera.
Man.
So, yes, I mean, this concept of digital companionship, proactive devices that are your teammates and help you anticipate your needs and help you excel is absolutely applicable for other use cases. And we've made our technology available for large companies that want to partner with us.
All right. Last question. What in the world do you do when the tariffs hit? Do you freak out and pull a chunk of your hair out, or do you sit down and meditate? What did you do?
I'll tell you the truth. Running a startup is often a roller coaster ride where you have the best day and the worst day, and it's usually the same day separated by an hour or two. So it's one of those, like, oh boy, here's another one.
Well, I think you have a great product. It was best of CES in 2018. Again, the product is LEQ, ELLIQ.com, Door Schooler. Thank you. Congratulations. Good luck. I would like to see one of these maybe in my parents' house when the time comes. I'll go in and click the pre-order now and get on the list for you. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
My parents need a little extra interaction with something. They're just sitting there watching TV all day. All right, Door, thank you. Door Schooler, appreciate it. All right, I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right, our next guest, a guy named Travis Chambers. He is the founder and chief media hacker at Chamber Media, chamber.media on the web. And he is the creator of YouTube's most viral ad of the decade. And we'll find out how viral that is. He is joining us right now. He is what he calls a Gen X tainted millennial. These guys are taking over the world. And, you know, I don't know how to explain. We older baby boomers thought we were cool, Travis. It's like there's many of us out there. We thought we were cool. We all of a sudden, you know, figured out our groove and we started doing it. And then you SOBs, you millennials came along. And you started doing things that are like taking over the damn world. Can you just cool off?
You know
off?
What, though?
You know?
You know what? The baby boomers started it, though.
Ah.
The Steve Jobs, the Bill Gates, they started. Yeah. They started, you know, we didn't start the fire.
Right. The Alan Taylors of the world.
Burning.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. So tell me about this most viral ad of the decade. What was going on with that? What happened?
I'm this mid-senior level guy, you know, young guy who people prefer to ignore. And I'm in this meeting at Crispin Porter & Bogeski. It's the top creative agency in the world at the time. you know, they did the Domino's turnaround. They did the crazy Volkswagen, the creepy Burger King, some iconic stuff. So I'm sitting in this room, right? And I'm just this millennial who's, you know, really passionate about viral video, this new thing called YouTube. You know, I've had a viral video that me and my wife made and was on the news and Good Morning America.
Wait a minute. You and your wife made this is clean, right?
You've got to watch this, Alan. It's called The Real Meaning of MPH. My wife and I are driving. And I say, if you're going 80 miles per hour, how long does it take to get there? And she fumbles through the answer for like 6 minutes in the most blonde way possible. You got to watch it after
all right,
this.
All right,
you will appreciate it.
What is it called now? The Real Meaning of MPH.
The Real Meaning of MPH.
Okay.
You'll see the public apology I made on Good Morning America tour and everything.
Oh, jeez.
It's an incriminating deal.
Okay, I'll go look at that. All right.
So that happens, right? And I weasel my way through this Kraft reaches out to license video, and I weasel my way like millennials do, and I find myself at this agency. And I'm in this meeting, and in the meeting, they say, Turkish Airlines has asked us to make the most viral ad of all time. And I just sit there, you know, you're supposed to be seen and not heard when you're at that level.
Right.
And I'm just listening to everyone just be completely clueless about how this is going to happen.
Wait a minute. Let's reclassify being completely closed. You're sitting there listening to a bunch of baby boomers be complete idiots and have no good ideas. Is that what you're saying? Huh?
They're talking in TV terms. And granted, we had Kobe Bryant, we had Lionel Messi. So I was like, all right, we're going to make a commercial.
Wow.
Kobe's going to be in it. Messi's going to be in it. And that'll be it. And I said, guys, look, Kobe and Messi have not been in one video that's had more than 8 million views on YouTube. So I'm telling you, it's got to be a deeper strategy. So I'd been studying this for a year. I'd been through the whole whirlwind, and I built this kind of program, and I risked it. I probably almost got fired, and I just said, hey, here's what we need to do. And the chief digital officer pulled me aside after the meeting. He said, you and I, we're going to do this project. We're not going to involve the media team. We're not going to involve the legal team. And we're just going to go rogue on this thing.
No way.
And that video got 150 million views. It got 3.5 million shares. It was the most viral ad of all time. Google ran a huge kind of like contest where people said what the most viral video of all time was. And they chose this one. And that was the beginning to this whole life I've lived since then.
Now, how long ago was that? Because you're only 31. It's not like it's been anything.
This whole life.
I got underwear that are all. I haven't even washed my underwear since this happened. But anyway.
Hey, I've been married 7 years. I was.
Yeah, that's like dog years, right? So here's the thing, though. 150 million views. But here's what I want to say to you. Fortune favors the bold. And I love the fact that you were bold, and maybe you didn't think at the moment I could have gotten fired for opening my mouth, because maybe you could explain what happened in the video that it would get 150 million views.
So what we did is we looked at, all right, what's going to make this thing viral, right? And we found that the Oxford Dictionary word of the year in 2013 was the selfie. And it was this ridiculous thing. You remember when that came out?
Right.
It was the, you know, it was the vanity. It was a slippery slope in society that we're never going to come back from. And so we decided, well, we're going to have Kobe and Messi take selfies all around the world. But the secret sauce was the distribution strategy. Okay, so before this, you know, you run a TV, you run a print, you run a radio, yada, yada, yada. But what we did is we ran a YouTube ad spend with this thing, and then we had 650 YouTube influencers talk about the video and link to it. Then we had a team of 20 interns writing to editors around the world in different languages to get this thing featured. We had over 2,000 press features. And then we had all this other stuff that we did, this, you know, nerdery magic, I guess you could say. And all these things combined to make this thing really work. And I truly believe, you know, we only had a $3.5 million distribution budget. There was a Windows Phone ad at the time that had a $5 million budget on it and only got 10 million views. So it went truly viral. You know, we actually kind of manufactured virality. And granted, we had Kobe and Messi, but I really don't think it would have happened without the right strategies.
Man.
I really don't.
So what you're saying is it's part luck, part chutzpah, as my dad would say, and part strategy. Now, hold still. I want to take a little break here because, and I don't do this very often, I'm giving you Ferris Bueller's Day Off on the first segment. It doesn't happen very often, okay, Travis? This is a Ferris Bueller's Day Off moment in time. This guy.
It's Daddy's car.
That's right. The most viral ad of the decade with 150 million views. We're gonna dissect that, reverse engineer it. Maybe you could do it if you've got a little money and you want to check out Travis Chambers at chamber.media, and you can hire him too. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly, and we're going to learn together. Don't go anywhere. Whether you have a great idea you want to launch or a business you're running that you want to grow, Woman Entrepreneur's powerful Build Like a Woman curriculum of online courses gives you all the tools you need to take your business to the next level. From digital self-paced courses, virtual coaching sessions, and webinars with experts, we power the entire journey, arming women entrepreneurs and leaders with what they need to start, grow, and flourish. Get started today. It's free to start. Enroll now at entrepreneur.com/courses. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/courses. This is exactly how Travis Chambers felt when his video, his viral video, did 150 million views, 3.5 million social shares. It's pretty cool. All I can tell you is, how the hell do you reproduce that now? Chamber.media, not .com, .media, chamber.media. Are you still there, brother?
I'm here.
I heard a little hang-up noise. I was afraid you hung up on me because I'm a little wild.
I was just bumping around here, okay. You know, tainted millennial.
Don't say taint on the radio, please. let me just ask you, what do you think entrepreneurs should know about, you know, making videos and such like that for their business? Because, you know, as much as hard as we try, and I'm a baby boomer, I was born in 1960, which tells you. And
hey, same as my dad.
There you go. See, and I have a son your age. So the thing is, and I know your dad's retired and you're probably about to put him into an old folks home. I get it. But we can't make videos to save our lives. I mean, I try it and I get like 9 views, you know? I mean, you got 150 million views. Anyway, what do you think entrepreneurs should know?
So everything I just said about, you know, the Kobe Messi thing, it's not replicable. Don't try it. The viral video thing, it's dead. You know, it's totally
dead.
Wait
a minute. Hold on. You just... Can we start the interview over? You just what?
It's dead. It's gone.
Those days are gone.
Yeah, it's gone, man. All things right. Change so freaking fast. Yeah. It is exhausting.
So what next?
It is exhausting. So I'm here to talk about what's working now, and what's working right now is social video ad funnels. So let's go through it. You've got an anchor video, okay? Your anchor video. Well, here I'm gonna back up really quick. The thing you gotta do if you're doing anything involving Facebook ads or YouTube ads or video is you've gotta make stuff that converts. You gotta make stuff that converts, that drives positive ROI. For every dollar you spend, you need to be making $2, $3, $4.
Wow.
You need to cover your ad costs. You need to cover your shipping and your manufacturing costs. And that is what we've been obsessively focused on. Since that Kobe project, since we started Chamber Media. And the thing a lot of people don't know is it's got to be a sequence. So, Alan, you got a lot of companies out there, and they're running these ads, right? They're running image ads. They're running maybe some little small videos that they made. They had some interns make on a little tabletop. And some of them are getting pretty good results, you know? But there's this other side to it that they're missing. And you know, companies 10, 15, 20 years ago, you had to run TV ads. You had to run radio. You had to run newspaper. You had to get the reach. You had to get the brand awareness.
Right.
And a lot of times what happens with direct-to-consumer e-commerce companies nowadays, they don't think they have to do that anymore. They think, you know, we'll just run some Facebook and YouTube ads with some clever stuff that our interns made. And we're going to be millionaires, but you know it doesn't work that way.
It did with you, but that's a different story. That's anyway.
But yeah, but I had Kobe and Messi, $3.5 million. You know.
But let me ask for those who don't know, what is a video funnel?
So a video funnel is a sequence of video ads that you make in order to get people to buy your product, and it starts with an anchor video. An anchor video can be anywhere from 1 to 5 minutes long. You want it to be as long as you can keep people's attention. And you can achieve that through good writing, through comedy, through production value, visuals, you know, all the things that you know when you see a really good ad. It's kind of like the infomercial shrunk down into something that's not painful to watch.
But it's got to be entertaining somehow.
It's got to be entertaining. You can't just sell, and you also can't just entertain. You got to do both.
Right.
I just did a thing with Google a few months ago, and they called it story selling. You know, it's not storytelling, it's story selling. You have the story, and
write
you got to sell.
Story selling. New term. All right. Got it. Go. Keep going.
You've got to have this anchor video that kind of owes its DNA to the old infomercial world and the old Super Bowl ad world, right? You're combining infomercial and a Super Bowl ad. You're melding it down into this social kind of thing. But then underneath that, you need to have all your retargeting videos, okay? So you need to have your testimonials, your product demonstrations, your before and afters, your press feature, you know, your press feature credibility stuff. You need to have, you know, your montage of influencers talking about it. You need to have stop motion of the product in a way that people can feel like they can really understand it. And then, you know, there's a whole host of other things you do, like write down the 5 main concerns that your customer has and make little videos for those things, whether they're 10 seconds or 30 seconds or a minute, and then test all those things. And so when we're doing one of these full-blown projects, now we've taken Transparent Labs, which is a supplement company, from 2 to 12 million a year. We've taken Mr. Cool, which is an HVAC company, from 10 to 26 million a year.
Whew.
We've had some big successes in a vacuum where they did no other marketing other than this thing I'm talking about here.
Let me ask you, because these are not exciting companies, you know? It's like
HVAC,
heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. I'm excited to watch that. What the hell? Yeah. You know, what did you do? Do like a dust mite, the life of a dust mite. You know, it's like, how the hell do you make that funny, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, for Mr. Cool, the HVAC company, we've got a 4-minute long video, and the average watch time is over 2 minutes. It's for a freaking HVAC company.
Right.
But we've basically taken the Saturday Night Live route to a commercial, and it's so fast. And it's so interesting. We even took some stuff from MythBusters and how they diagram the stuff that they're gonna, the myths they're gonna bust. And
you gotta
take a cue from
what has been successful. Right. All right. Hold tight. Chamber.media. Travis Chambers on the line. No S on Chamber. Chamber.media on the web. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. We're gonna come back and continue with the most viral ad of the decade winner, Travis Chambers. Stay with us.
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
This young man has driven $200 million-plus dollars in trackable sales, 270 million views, 3.5 million social shares. It's freaking crazy. All with social videos. YouTube's most viral ad of the decade. 150 million views. How can we reproduce? That's probably impossible because things keep changing. But I'm going to leave it on you, Travis. Travis Chambers joining us from Chamber.media, Chamber Media. And for you to wrap it up and give people some hope that they can, you know, do some good with viral social media and everything they're trying to do with their videos and their ad funnels, which most of them don't even know what that is. That's why they got to learn this stuff. That's what this show is about. Go for it.
Yeah. So, you know, we're talking about marrying this infomercial world and this brand awareness world, and then you've got to completely optimize it for social, you know. And when we got into this game 3 or 4 years ago, it was really difficult to scale because there just wasn't as many people using Facebook and YouTube. And the ad platforms weren't as advanced. But now they're so advanced. The things that Facebook knows about you, I mean, you know, a lot of people have purchased things through Facebook ads, but Facebook doesn't just know what you tell them through your posts and your birth date and your, you know, things you're doing in your life or where you work, those things. But they get all this third-party data from other providers, you know, rewards cards that you use at Home Depot and Nielsen data, you know, what you watch and what you buy and your how you use your credit cards. So there's a really creepy level of data they have on you. So there's never been a better opportunity right now to scale it with this in this fashion. And so that's what we're seeing, you know, with the projects we're doing and seeing what the companies that are doing well is they take this traditional mindset of, I need to create this video that mixes these two worlds together. You know, the video you think of when you think of Dollar Shave Club, they were one of the first ones to do this. Did you ever see that Dollar Shave Club video?
Oh, absolutely. It was great.
Yeah. So
by the way, I do everything with Dollar Shave. I buy the underarm deodorant. I buy the toothbrush. I buy the butt wipes. I buy it all. So they got me.
It worked.
I don't buy the butt wipes. I promise you. I did try it once, though. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, what's wild is they made that video for $7,000 back in, six years ago. And they got acquired by $1 billion from Unilever. This method we're talking about here is really what launched them, you know? And so if you can make a video like this, and we usually will have it be a spokesperson because people have been buying from human beings for thousands of years. You know, 4,000 years ago, you're going to the market to get your produce, and you were looking at the guy selling it and decide, do I want to buy from this guy? And so people really like to buy from human faces. So we usually like to do spokesperson. Whenever we can, we usually like to throw humor in because humor disarms people. Right. You know, people, they think they don't like to be sold to, but the truth is they really do. They really do like to be sold to, but they want it to happen in a way where they don't feel like they're being pushed.
Right. That right there is the secret sauce, though. That's the secret sauce. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is. You know, think about it. If someone's selling to you, first of all, that means that if you buy from them, you're doing something for them. And that feels good. That feels good. And if they're coming to you to sell you something, that means you have something to offer. That means that you are, you know, you're a value, you know, you're relevant,
right?
You know,
yeah.
You've got something that you can offer. And so I think deep down, we actually like to be sold. I think it's kind of in us. So,
you know,
humor is a really good way.
It's funny too, because it's like some of the infomercial guys, I cannot stand them. I mean, they're good at what they do. And I still want to buy this stuff, even though I hate that guy. And then I find out that there's some sick part of me that actually likes the guy because I like to hate him, but I think that stuff may work. I'm going to have to try that stuff.
Yeah, Willie Mays? You can't ignore Willie Mays. You know,
all right.
Until he dies.
Listen, yeah, right?
Anyway,
okay.
What I'm saying here is if you can get this social ad funnel working and you can convert customers in a profitable way, you can grow this thing to be doing over $1 million, $2 million, $3 million a month we're doing for a bunch of our partners. And it is a huge opportunity right now.
All right. Chamber.media, CHAMBER.media on the web. Travis Chambers. If you need some help like that, here is your man. Travis, thank you very much. Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thanks,
I'm Alan Taylor. That's it for this week. I'm going to go try and make a viral video in my bathroom right now.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.